when they're not broadcasting.
DJ Bingo.
What we like
is Scott Rutkowski.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their... pages together into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters web ring. Learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Watch the ACB Radio Interactive website for the launch of the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters web ring. Another public service from
ACB Radio.
For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? They let us back on. More internet radio for you on the Blind Line Show here at ACB Radio Mainstream. All I need to do now is get rid of the chicken in my throat. It's very nice to have you along. It is a fairly mild Monday afternoon for what is supposed to be summer here in New Zealand. And coming up on the program, well, we're going to be speaking with Roger Cool in an interview I recorded with him earlier, so unfortunately you won't be able to ask him questions. But Roger is a broadcaster of considerable note from his work that he did in Singapore, and he, believe it or not, is also on ACB Radio Interactive, so we'll be talking about that. And then we'll be taking your calls about anything that you want to raise. As Brian Hartgen once said, hello, hello, is there anyone out there? Because it's Super Bowl today. And if you're wondering why I'm playing this music, well, I was just thinking as I was getting ready to do the program how I still have to get used to living in this semi-rural environment. When we knew that we were going to be doing most of our work on the internet and we formed this new company, we decided to get out of the city. And we're living in this sort of semi-rural environment. And one of the things that's been going on for us recently is that there's this doggy.
A doggy.
And it hovers around. It's called Madam. I said to Amanda, what is this Madam? You know, what kind of dog is she? And no one can tell me because Madam is such a complex combination of all that is canine. But she jumps around and carries on, and I'm just a bit worried about what happens when she grows up. But I went out there, and the chickens, the neighbor's chickens, were going absolutely berserk. Oh, I couldn't believe it. They were just going bananas at me. I went inside. I said, Amanda, those chickens are being massacred out there. I said, it must be that dog. So she rushed out to investigate. And with some derision pointed out that actually, they're just being fed. They're just being fed, that's all. Well, what do I know? Anyway, so they're just being fed. Apparently they are perfectly safe and sound chickens. So you can rest your mind at ease about that. Interesting thing, this rural business, isn't it? Well, time for the interview, I believe, now that I've got that off my chest. Those chickens really did sound most interesting. I've never heard chickens sound quite like that. Actually, it makes me feel quite... No, I won't say that. It's 3 minutes past the hour, and here is our interview that I recorded earlier this morning with top broadcaster Roger Cool. Now, it's interesting that when Roger contacted us for ACB Radio Interactive, and I gave him a bit of a helping hand with a couple of things, I had no idea who he was. But everybody needs a hero. And when I was a kid, I actually got hold of an air check of Roger, who was doing some fantastic radio on cable in Singapore. And to hear a blind guy doing radio as well and as successfully, and probably as prosperously as Roger was doing it, was for a young person desperate to get into radio, quite an inspiration. And Roger was a bit reluctant to come on Blind Line, not really wanting to blow his own trumpet too much, but I convinced him finally, after several attempts, I have to say, that there are people out there who still want to get into radio, perhaps younger people listening to this program, and they need heroes too. They need people who've successfully worked in the business and could benefit from his wisdom, his success. So on that basis, Roger agreed to talk to us, and here's the interview that I recorded earlier today with Roger Cool. Welcome to the program, Roger. It's really good to have you along. And shall we start at the beginning and tell us a bit about yourself and your upbringing? Are you blind from birth?
Not from birth, but actually I have this condition called retinoblastoma, which is the tumor right on the eye. And so back at the age of 5, I lost both my eyes. Victim of cancer. And but I don't really remember anything where vision goes. So it's as good as being blind from birth, I guess.
Okay, so you don't have a visual memory. You don't, for example...
Nothing at all.
Right, right. So you dream as a totally blind person from birth would dream, without any sight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how did your parents kind of deal with that? Because I suppose there's a shock element for everybody when they have a son or a daughter who's born blind, and everybody wants whatever the perfect baby is. But to have it take that period of time must have been really taxing on them, I imagine.
Yeah, but I guess, I guess they dumped me at the school for the blind, so there wasn't a whole lot they had to deal with, but they were okay. I mean, they were pretty close to me and all that. They took care of a lot of my needs. I was from a rather poor family, I guess, and... they didn't have a lot of money, but I guess they did the best they could.
What part of the world did you grow up in fact?
I was Singapore.
Right. Okay. So you were born in Singapore?
I was, yeah.
Okay. Because you have an accent that sounds like you've heralded from North America somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I love playing around with accents and voices and stuff, as it's always been part of me. And... so I grew up a lot on American radio, I guess. I was exposed to a lot of that good stuff, and because there wasn't a whole lot of good stuff from back where I came from, and so I had to resort to a lot of other good stuff, you know, out there, shortwave radio and stuff.
Yeah, because I suppose there wasn't that much commercial American radio available on shortwave, though, was there?
Not commercial, I guess. VOA, Voice of America, was just about the only thing back then. I guess there are one or two others that have since come our way. But back in those days, it was just Voice of America, and of course BBC was one of the better stations that I managed to catch.
Well, all I can say is, if you were weaned on the Voice of America, we ought to count our blessings that you're not talking to us in special English.
Oh, they talk real slow, don't they?
Yeah. So is English, in fact, your first language?
Yes. I would say so. I mean, I'm actually Chinese by descent, but I grew up speaking a lot, and coming from a boarding school, and they spoke English most times. So I would say I speak more English than anything else.
Can you
better than my mother tongue.
Right.
Shame to say.
Have you always had ambitions to work in broadcasting, though? That's what you always wanted to do?
Yeah, radio has always been in my blood. And when I was like a child, I was like fooling around with those little portable cassette players. And they were cheap. I don't know, they weren't really cheap back in those days, but so I used to try out some recordings and did a lot of practicing as I was growing up, and wanted to always sound better than what I heard on the local stations.
Yeah, and of course, from a New Zealand perspective, I remember that when people used to go over to Singapore on holiday, they used to come back with all kinds of gadgets, portable cassette recorders when they were starting to come in and those sorts of things, because the cost of that sort of equipment was, comparatively speaking, a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So I suppose you were in the right kind of place for getting the latest gadgets.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the Japanese products, for instance, not necessarily cheap, but they were definitely available there. Electronic stuff, yeah. A lot of people, tourists, would check them out in Singapore.
Did you receive encouragement from, I don't know, guidance counselors, people at school, your parents, about pursuing a radio career?
Actually, my parents, well, they didn't really think there was a lot of hope for a blind person, you know, in terms of a career and that kind of thing. I think they didn't discourage me either, so that was helpful. I don't think that people really felt that blind people could do anything beyond like a telephonist job, or I think basket weaving was still one of the major things back in those days. We're talking, you know, 60s, 70s, yeah.
And a university education for blind people in Singapore, was that a possibility? Was that often done?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not everybody, but a lot of blind people have managed to make it to the university level.
Because it's quite a... I guess we have a perception here. It's a reasonably authoritarian kind of well-regimented society.
Where? In Singapore?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I guess it still is to some extent.
And yet, I guess things are sort of orderly, you know. Did you find it was a very orderly kind of place?
It is. Sometimes too orderly for one's good. But that's always been the way it is over there, and still is, I guess.
Did you grow up and do your schooling all the way in a blindness setting, or were you eventually mainstreamed in a regular school?
Regular school from what we call grade 7 here, secondary school or whatever, you know. Yeah, the elementary school was, everybody was in that boarding school for the blind. Now, though, they have... done away with the boarding school thing. I guess there are still a few people, students that actually stay there during the week, but more so in the early days.
Yeah, separation from family and friends that you grew up until the age of schooling, that can be a bit tough on a young guy.
Yeah, and I think that in a way wasn't very good for me, because in that sense I have not been that close to my family as I grew up, being not really, you know, with them all the time.
Did you have siblings, brothers and sisters?
Lots of them. I have 4 brothers, 3 sisters. I'm the only one that's blind, though.
Right. So, gosh, a family of 8 children, that must that must be fun. You need some
Celine software. Dion is one of 14 children, I believe. So, well,
yeah, that's incredible. That's amazing. Now, you need some software to remember birth dates and wedding anniversaries and things, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah,
I have them a lot in Braille, actually, and I love collecting that kind of trivial stuff, you know, trivia. And now, of course, I'm still collecting them and putting them into my computer and just adding on the data as we go along.
Mm. So what happened to you when you finished school?
I very quickly, I was determined to find a job in broadcasting, so... I knocked at a couple of doors. Actually, there aren't many options in Singapore. There's the state-run station, and there's this other network called the... It's a cable station, and that's who I went with, because they were more receptive, I guess, I'm not sure to all blind people, but they certainly were... obviously, they had their doubts as to what a blind person can do. They were... really concerned that I might blow up the equipment and all that, you know, the old turntable systems, and yeah, if you recall, they were into records and stuff back in the 70s, but they were really surprised that I could actually put a needle on the exact track, like, say, track 5 of an album, a 12-inch album, because they're, like, wondering how you'd ever do it and not realize that by purely hearing the sound of the way a song, is heard, to put the needle on the exact spot. And that I had to do, I had to really convince them really hard, yeah.
You walk into, I think when a blind person walks into any new radio station looking for work, you always get the operations man coming out saying, well, you may have worked somewhere, but there's no way you could work our equipment. And every time you start in a new place, you've got to go through that proof process all over again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you go about overcoming those doubts? I mean, what did you have to do before they finally let you on the air?
You know, actually, when they hired me, they said, on condition, though, that we assign you a producer. And that's not something they love to do, obviously, manpower shortage and all that. But they were only prepared to do that for a while, just to be sure that that I don't mess anything up. And once I could prove myself, which I did eventually, and then they'd let me handle things on my own. But yeah, it definitely was a struggle, and I had to prove one thing after another. First of all, that I could tell the time, I could read requests, and I could do some of their public service announcements or their commercials. And I think the spinning of the record and all that was really the last thing. The technical aspect is something they were really doubtful about.
Yeah. So you actually got a reasonably big job in Singapore radio quite young.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm not sure about a big job, but it wasn't paying that well. But back in those days, I guess it was good money. So I was doing the cable thing for a number of years, actually, about 5 years. And then I decided the money wasn't good enough and decided to branch out on my own and started my own little production house, doing commercials and packaging radio programs, this time on the state-run radio. And they were only willing to take my programs at that point if I could find the sponsors. And they had a little, like, half-hour, one-hour type format. The format was such that they would sell time to various advertisers. And so people like us who would bring in the revenue for them were able to go on the air and do our thing.
So was that kind of what people like to call the rockumentary kind of format, where you would focus on a particular theme or an artist, something like that?
Not necessarily. We could do a half hour of maybe the top 10 hits, the top 40 hits of the day or whatever, or we can do an oldies program. But it doesn't have to be anything like totally scripted in that sense, you know. Are totally thoroughly researched. Nothing necessarily like that, though.
I guess that your particular style of radio coming to Singapore may have been, to some extent, a bit of a culture shock, because the kind of radio you do is very Western and commercial sounding, and I wondered whether that created any reaction at all.
Yeah, actually, they... You know, I mean, the programs I did had to be pre-taped, obviously, and that is the other thing. So that's what I produced in my studio. And they would actually audition every program that you send in, and there were a lot of restrictions, like the terms I used and the style. Like, I couldn't actually put in a sound effect of, say, a car crash. At least once or twice I tried, and they said no, we had to take that off, because if people were driving and listening to this, they might think something was going on, and it might cause some actual accidents and stuff. So I had to make some modifications. Yes, I think my style was a little too wacky for them to sound to some extent, and I had to tone down somewhat.
Because you became very well networked through your shows. I noticed that you still have and use, for example, liners that have come from people like Stevie Wonder and Dave Lee Travis of the BBC and a number of others. So you clearly made a bit of an impact and got to meet some interesting people in your work.
Absolutely. That was one of the thrills, actually, of the business that I started. And in the course of a few years, I got to various press conferences and met up with the big stars. Yeah, Stevie Wonder was an absolute joy. You know, I told my wife, we're going to meet Stevie Wonder. I'm going to actually buy him a little gift. And we headed to this music shop and got a harmonica. And I said, let's give this to Stevie. And so she said, you're nuts. The good thing was he returned the favor and gave me his harmonica, one of the harmonicas he played anyway, and I still have that. And it's a collector's item now, I guess. That's Stevie Wonder. I also met up with the other big ones, Cliff Richard, Helen Reddy, Dionne Warwick, Glenn Campbell, quite a few of them. So it was really quite thrilling, yeah.
And you got them all to record you a couple of IDs, did you?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of them, they were either damaged or something, or the quality was just too bad to put on air. But at least the Stevie Wonder one and DLT from London. I did actually meet Dave Lee Travis, but when I went to London, I managed to talk to some producer and got him to do the customized stuff for me.
Yeah. Was it a bit special meeting Stevie Wonder, not just because of the artist that he is, but because he was also a blind person?
Yes. Ray Charles also I got to meet, but I was a lot younger then. But Stevie Wonder, they actually granted me a whole half-hour interview with Stevie, and I should get it out one of these days and put it on the air. But we talked for about 20 to 30 minutes about blindness issues and radio and music and stuff like that. It was tough, of course, getting to these big people to be granted an exclusive. I guess it was really because I'm blind that they granted me the special exclusive. And obviously the press people made a whole story out of that, blind DJ interviewing a blind musician, and that in itself was a big story.
Tell me about Braille and how important you believe Braille is to a successful blind broadcaster.
Very important. I mean, even with all that technology out there, I mean, to actually, say, go on the air, you need to read. And I guess the only means for one that's totally blind is Braille, really. I mean, I'm not sure about you, Jonathan, but for me, I mean, Braille is still... I managed successfully, I think, to read, let's say, a couple of pages without problems. But to really read, unless you really have a chance to practice prior to going on the air, it's how do you do it? I'm not sure.
I guess that for me, I wouldn't have been able to do, I think, any of the jobs I've done in broadcasting without Braille. And I'm one of those people that can pick up a Braille text and just read it, but that's not too common. But it's an interesting point you make about Braille really is the only true alternative to print, because it's the only way that a blind person can sit down and read something that either they or someone else has written.
For sure, yeah.
And actually read it in a way that that can be heard on the air. I mean, I suppose some people are probably able to sit there with a speech synthesizer talking to them in one ear and repeating back what's been said.
Oh, I find it very difficult. I mean, it's so distracting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yes, I find it so, but then, of course, we might be showing our age a bit. although you've got a few years on me, I actually should say that I remember hearing an air check of you that someone brought back from Singapore when you were doing the cable thing, and was really impressed at the time. So have other people followed in your footsteps? Are there blind people still doing the radio thing in Singapore because
no,
you paved the way?
There was one or two persons I knew that was interested, but I don't think they managed to pull it off because I guess their diction or something was lacking, and I think they're pretty strict there in one's performance and output, I guess. So I guess he didn't make it. I'm not sure really how far or you know, how much he really tried, but fortunately or unfortunately, I've been the only blind person, and they always introduce me as the blind DJ. they make sure they make that a big point.
How do you feel about that?
I don't really care. I mean, there's no problem with the word blind. I guess people have since come up with terms like what physically challenged or visually impaired or whatever. But I've always liked the simple word. So, you know, if you're blind, you're blind. If that's the way people remember me with, that's fine, you know.
But you don't feel that in some way the focus on blindness detracts from the fact that you do a fine program, and that's what you want to be remembered for?
I do want to be remembered for that, but I think I guess people make it a real big deal in the fact that I'm in spite of the blindness, I'm coming across the way I do, or you know, I do what they consider to be a good job, and that's a good feeling. And I must say something though. I mean, I've also like been a businessman, like while I was trying to sell my programs, and I had to solicit, from advertisers and all that. And the one thing I never do when I got on the phone to them is I'm blind, because I don't think that mattered one way or the other. And in fact, that you know, saying you're blind might actually be a hindrance more than anything else.
So you went out on your own and set up your own business. Was that a difficult decision for you to make, because you had popularity, you had, I guess, as stable as any job is in radio, a slot there that you were filling and people were listening. So it must have been, I imagine, a tough decision to make.
To decide on what, sorry?
Yeah, to set up your own business and leave cable radio and do it all on your own.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it was quite a challenge, and but there were a few other people who did it. I mean, you know, DJs who become successful entrepreneurs and all that. So I decided, why not? I mean, if I don't do it now, I never will. So fortunately, it paid off big time. And, and I have a wife who's sighted, and she was always helpful in everything I did. Not always encouraging me, but whenever, you know, she was definitely there. My escort, my guide, whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty tough sometimes for the partners of radio people, I think, because it's such an unstable kind of profession.
Yeah, it appears to be unstable. And many a time she'd tell me, I mean, you know, and I have a certain idea or something, she'll say, no, don't go there, you're not going to make it. I say, come on, let's give it a shot.
So you have to believe in yourself, don't you? You have to have, I think, to succeed in radio, one heck of an ego, to be honest.
More than anything else. And also, if you don't sell yourself, nobody will. So really, yeah, you have to, the ego has to even show sometimes, and you, even if you try to play it down, I guess it'll only work best if you believe in yourself and let the world know that you do.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, because you're damn good and you know it, right?
I wouldn't say it, but if someone says it, I guess I wouldn't disagree.
And if there are younger blind people listening to you, I guess particularly blind children who might be listening to you, or young adults who are looking for a career in broadcasting, what are some of the essentials that you would say to them that they should work on, say, that if they're still going through the school system now?
Okay, first of all, like you said earlier, we must have faith in ourselves and all that confidence. However, always be prepared to take criticism and never feel that you've got it made, that you know everything. Because even right to this point now, and I've done this for 20-some years, I still am learning, and I'm still prepared to be corrected. If, you know, obviously I have certain views of my own, but I've done this for a long time, and I pretty much know what's good and what's not. But I'm still prepared to hear if someone said that this that you did or said was not quite it, not quite right. Be prepared to accept constructive criticisms. Obviously, you know, if someone's not meaning what he's saying, I mean, you know, in a positive manner. But certainly from your superiors, your, you know, the boss, if you like, or the people who have done this for years, it's always good to hear what they have to say.
Even though you have been doing it for 20-some years, do you still get nervous before you go on the air?
It depends. It depends. Sometimes I am. I get the little jitters and stuff. I actually worked in Sri Lanka, if you know where that is, Ceylon. For a couple of years, I was doing, I was programming the station for a while, and one day when they had an opening ceremony for this new station, this new commercial station they had established, and everybody was going to be there. The boss, the bosses and the studio and cameramen and all that. And I was nervous because, they were just making a big deal out of this little station that was opening. And that got me really nervous. But generally, I guess, you know, once you get started, I guess you just sort of relaxed and settled in, you know. But sometimes, yeah, in just the initial part of a program or something, when you're just getting started, every show is a new show, right? And depending on what it is, if it's something that you put a lot of work and preparations for, like an exclusive or something, you know, I just tend to get a little nervous.
It's very important to mention that Sri Lanka's cricket team is here in New Zealand at the moment for a series of one-day internationals.
Oh yeah, they're pretty good, aren't they, Sri Lankans?
Oh yes. Yes, yes they are. So you would have, was Sri Lanka the first non-Singaporean destination for you?
Yes. Ever since then, also I have done some syndicated shows, although not really in a big way, but we have marketed our shows to two or three other countries, Grenada being one of them, and another was the Philippines. I plan to do more syndication work, but never really, you know, back in those days, like about, it was 10 years ago, when it was still the open reel thing, and it was so expensive to have them shipped out in, you know, DHL or Federal Express or whatever, and so that probably did not get me very far in terms of the syndication thing. But now everything is so so easy with CDs and stuff, you know, and even the internet. And things have really changed quite a bit.
Why did you decide it was time to leave Singapore?
Well, you know, I'd done all I could. I was getting a little tired of the scene, I guess. And also, we had always loved North America, my wife and I, and so one day we just put in an application for Canada, and if it weren't successful, we'd have just settled and just stayed where we were quite happily, but we got, it was approved. The immigration thing got through, and we decided, why not? If we don't leave now, I guess we'll never get another chance. So we did.
You mentioned that you had been a program director. Has that been a difficult thing because of your blindness? I mean, have you found that people are less inclined to take instruction from you?
That's a very good point, actually. I think, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't an easy road. However, I guess they still did still listen, although with a little resistance.
It's fascinating that when you came up on ACBRI, and it wasn't until I actually first heard your test broadcast that it clicked, and I just about had heart failure when I realized who it was. But so what kind of drove you to, you know, a professional who's been in the business for over 20 years to donate so much time to this voluntary group of blind broadcasters?
First of all, I feel very good. I mean, being amongst other broadcasters, as I said, I feel that I'm as I'm also learning from the group various aspects of PC audio and all that stuff. In a way, it's good to give back, I guess. You know, in other words, I get something out of you guys, and I don't mind sort of giving back something. And what's 3 hours of my time, I guess, on a weekly program?
The on-air studio certainly has changed a lot, though, hasn't it? And for people who've been out of a studio for a wee while, it's almost like a completely new place.
Yeah, for sure. And doing things now with the Winamps and the Archdukes and all, I mean, it's just totally different from radio as it used to be with your, you know, conventional machines and stuff. It's way easier. Actually, the DJs these days are pretty fortunate. They've got it easy. You know, it's all the touch of a keyboard, right?
I'd hate to have a sit here and say, oh, it's not like it was in my day, you know.
Yeah.
But it probably is true. I mean, when you think about the energy that we used to spend on getting one crossfade right, and these days you have something like Otsuke that just does it.
Yeah, I was totally blown away by this Otsuke and Winamp thing. I just never believe it. It's either cheap or free. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is amazing. You do your 3 hour 70s show. I guess the 70s was the decade that you're most fond of, musically speaking.
Actually, the 80s weren't too bad either. I mean, my best years in terms of economics, I guess, was the 80s. I mean, I made I made good back in the 80s. And met a lot of nice people back in the 1980s as well. But to be focused on something, I think also because a few Agbree DJs are doing the 80s thing, I thought that someone had to cater to the 70s audience. I know there are a few oldies shows out there, but not 70s, not specifically aimed at the 70s, and I thought, why not?
It was a funny old decade, wasn't it? I guess the 60s were reasonably consistent, but then you have the 70s, which had everything from, you know, disco right through to some really schmaltzy stuff. A very diverse decade, mm-hmm. musically.
Hard rock, too. Yeah, 70s, definitely. And also, I guess the 60s were a little before my time. I grew up in the 60s. I mean, I was, I grew up on the Stones, the Beatles, and Dylan, and all that stuff. But I guess I was a little younger then, but it was in the 70s that I really took notice of everything. And I dare say, maybe, that I know pretty much about 90% of everything that made the top 40 back in the 70s and 80s as well. And I'm a very chart-oriented person. If you've been following my shows, you'd notice. And although I enjoy listening to Maureen Schultz, is that her name?
That's her name.
But I'm really a chart person in terms of what I put on the air. I believe that, and I don't mean to say that I'm pro commercial radio, but and that's another thing actually. Commercial radio tends to be to have very restricted playlists and all that. But what I'm playing is also more than what the commercial radio stations play. A lot of the songs that they don't program, I would include in my playlist. The songs that were maybe a little, the songs that got to number 32 or something, you know what I mean? And still memorable songs, but just got forgotten over the years.
Yeah, for example, I heard you a few weeks ago playing Elton John's Skyline Pigeon, which was never a huge hit. That is, in my opinion, his best ever song. But no one plays it, except you and me.
I heard it last night. Yeah,
good song. Yeah, we've got different. I've got this harpsichord type version, and you've got the piano one. Or you might have both, but
mine's better, Jonathan.
Yeah, it is. It is actually. I want to get that version.
I'll send it to you.
what was I going to ask you after all that? Oh, yeah. So do you think that it's more difficult these days for a blind person to get into radio than it was, say, 20 years ago?
Without statistics and all, it's hard to say. But I can't imagine why it'll be harder now. Actually, with all that technology, and proving that you could use because everything's computerized too, right? In the radio stations. Actually, I think it's far easier to convince them, the powers that be, that you can handle things with your screen reader and making a few modifications to their computer and adding the software and that. I think it's way easier than convincing them 25 years ago that you could put a needle on the record, really.
I suppose the contrast to that, though, is that there are now all sorts of accessibility issues. For example, that if you are using, or if the studio is using some sort of software that doesn't work well with a screen reader, I guess in the days of turntables and count machines, you could survive on your wits. Every studio was basically accessible, but these days it may be true that we're shut out of many studios because of accessibility problems.
Really, huh? I mean, that's interesting, because I'd have thought the other way around, though.
Well, maybe we'll get some calls on that when we open the phones a bit later from people who are in the broadcasting industry who might like to comment on that. It will be interesting to see what the consensus is.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope that we'll continue to have the benefit of your programs on ACB Radio Interactive for the immediate future. Oh, just before we go, you mentioned you were working on some sort of internet initiative. Can you tell us any more about that?
Yeah, well, I am planning on doing some programs probably on demand, initially anyway, and trying to, actually I'm targeting at the Singapore market because I guess that's where I have a lot of my contacts. Obviously I'm trying to make some money out of this, and I'm hoping to approach some of the old sponsors that I used to work with, and, you know, the old clients. In the hope that they will put some money in my project and make it happen.
I imagine that the infrastructure of Singapore means that a lot of people have broadband over there.
A lot of people have, and a lot of people don't. I think not quite. You know, the PC audio thing, the internet thing. I'm not sure how well it's going to be accepted there. I mean, it's not quite as affordable, I guess, as it is here. But then again, people in Singapore have money, you know, so we'll see.
But how does a country like Singapore deal with the open, uncontrollable nature of the internet? Do they just have to sit back and accept it?
I think there's nothing they can do. Back in the old days, I guess there was, as you realize, they don't allow a lot of competition in Singapore in terms of media, radio, that kind of thing. And I'm glad the internet now is giving us opportunities to do other things that were never previously thought possible.
Well, it's been a privilege to talk to you and to continue working with you, and thank you for giving up some time to come on Blindline today.
Been a pleasure, Jonathan, and any time.
And that's Roger Cool, who can be heard, incidentally, on ACB Radio Interactive between 2 and 5 Universal Time on a Friday. So that makes it 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern Time on a Thursday night, if you would like to hear Roger in action. He's a really proficient broadcaster, and he does a great show if you enjoy music from the 1970s, and I'm sure a lot of you do. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. And now it's time for the open forum part of the program, and you can call in courtesy of spiderphone.com. Our lines are open now, and to do that, all you need to do is give us a call at area code 212-812-2800. That number should also be in the title bar of your media player. So if you press Insert T if you're a JFW user, and Control Shift T if you're a Windows user, hopefully you'll get that number there. But it is again in the United States, area code 212-812-2800. When Spiderphone, who kindly donate these facilities for the program, ask you to enter a PIN, you should enter 0480-5512. That PIN number once again, 0480-5512. And a reminder that, of course, if you need any teleconferencing facilities, make sure you look up Spiderphone, because they support ACB Radio and have done now for about 9 months or so. So hopefully we can all support them. It's a good old world when we can do that, isn't it? Well, what's been happening over the last week or so? Have you tried Kinect Out Loud? I guess that's the major technology story of the week. This is the product that has come out from Freedom Scientific, which is designed to make web browsing more affordable and accessible to more people. Have you had a look at it? What do you think? Be interested to hear your comments on that. Lots of controversy going down in the United States over the Attorney General appointment of John Ashcroft. I don't think it's been confirmed yet. It's still an ongoing debate. And if you're on the ACBL list, you've probably had that one to death, but your perspectives on that are most welcome. The Super Bowl. Isn't it on right now? How come we've got so many listeners when the Super Bowl is on? I had this dreadful feeling we were going to have no one listening at all. And it seems that that's not the case. Haven't got any callers yet, but I mean, we haven't. we've got some listeners there, so that's I guess that's the pull of Roger Cool. But anyway, if you'd like to be first cab off the rank, you're most welcome to give us a call now, because I think what you'll find is that once things get going, the lines start to get busy. So give us a call, raise any topic you like. It doesn't have to be anything that I've talked about. That number again is in the United States, area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. And then when you're asked to enter spiderphone.com's PIN, it should be 0480-5512. That PIN again is 0480-5512. And we'll be delighted to hear from you. Last week I had a couple of goes at mentioning this movie that I had seen in the summer, and didn't really get to develop that theme. And it was such an effective movie that I thought I would come back to it. This is the one that had Myra Savino in it. Yeah, it's called At First Sight, and it was about a guy who was blind pretty much since the age of 3, so he did have some visual memory. And his father took this pretty hard, took him to every conceivable medical person, some conventional, a lot non-conventional, trying to get his sight back, eventually left home because of the alleged trauma of it all. So this guy's working as a massage therapist, and he meets this stressed-out New York architect, and she falls in love, and well, they fall in love, and then she hears about this therapy that's being worked on that could restore his sight, and eventually he agrees to have a go at this after some initial protestations, and does get sight back. And one of the interesting things about this was that he had to pretty much learn all over again the way how to equate what he was seeing with his perceptions of what there was. In other words, he could look at a can of Coke, but because he didn't have any visual memory of a can of Coke, he'd have to touch it to actually know what it was, because he was seeing the shape and everything, but he just couldn't tell what it was because he hadn't learned to see, to interpret the information that his eyes were giving him. And it was a very interesting thing, because I guess it validated my own feelings. I know a lot of people, when they get asked the question, would you have your sight if it were offered to you, often say, yes, I would. And I have always felt in a bit of a minority when I said, no, I wouldn't want it. It would be like going back to the beginning again. And this film kind of validated that view, that in fact he found it a dreadful experience. It took him a long time before he even started to come to grips with what he was seeing. Eventually, the surgery wore off and he became blind again, and he was quite happy about that. And it's based on a true story, apparently. So if you want to, I don't know whether it's been audio described or not, But even if it hasn't, it's a reasonably easy movie to follow, except the end, which is really frustrating. It's got one of those endings where you have to ask someone what happened. So hopefully it is audio described somewhere, but it's At First Sight. It's a very interesting movie, and if you've seen that one, I'd like to know what you think of it, and the whole question of whether you would go for sight if you had the opportunity. What else can I tell you about since we're being inundated with no calls right now? I can tell you that on main menu this week we've got some very interesting items, including a chat with Brian Hartgen, who has just developed a tutorial on Microsoft Word. It's called It's Only Words. And he's going to do one of his famous Brian Hartgen out on a limb things, and he's going to tell us what, in his opinion, is the best screen reader that works with Microsoft Word. What a brave man. So he's going to give an unequivocal statement that, in his opinion, at this time, X screen reader works best with Microsoft Word. How about that? Now, you don't get people who are that honest coming on too often, do you? And sticking their neck out. So that's coming up. We'll also have another in the series of Carlos's Window Eyes Set Fire writing tips that went down very well last week with the first in the series. We will keep on with our series on Windows Explorer. And Matt Campbell is along with Look at Linux. DJC will be looking at MP3 file taggers, and we have another story that is going to be, how can I put it, controversial and probably shake up the industry a bit, and we're not going to say any more about that, but it will run as the first story on Tuesday night. If you've ever heard a main menu, you'll want to hear this one. Let's just put it that way. It's coming up on Wednesday morning. That's 1 till 3 Universal Time in the US. That's Tuesday night, 8 till 10 Pacific, Eastern, 5 till 7 Pacific, for what's going to be a pretty significant main menu. So, this is ACB Radio Mainstream. The program is Blind Line, and we're always interested in hearing from you, courtesy of spiderphone.com. And indeed, I think we can go to our first call and say very good evening to area code 256.
Good evening, Jonathan. Chris Sales.
How are you, Chris? How's that cold getting on?
Well, looks like we're going to have to go to the doctor tomorrow and get something to, let's see, how can I put it, to assist it to get out of here.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But,
it's nasty.
Yeah, it is. And but it's you know, something I've not had one in actually 2 years, and I even went and got, I don't know if they do this in New Zealand, but we got flu shots here in the United States, and I was able to get one, but, you know, of course, if it's a cold, it's not going to do much for you, but I thought I would call in, and I had company, but I was listening to Roger Kuhl earlier, and I wasn't able to call in and speak directly, but if he's listening, I wanted to congratulate him for all of his efforts in the radio broadcasting genre. I think he has done a marvelous job from what he has done, and I know that when he first started off, that he did not have a lot of software to assist him in this endeavor.
Well, I think that's what makes ACB Radio Interactive such an interesting project, that you get some people with incredible computer skills who are learning from broadcasters who have been in the business for a while, and then you get some broadcasters who know virtually nothing about the computer but want to try their hand at this internet radio, and I think between those groups you get a really good mix of people who put the programming together.
I fall into that latter category. About not knowing much about the computer. I do know a bit, but I don't know as much as I wish I did. But I noticed that Otsuke has come out with a lot of new, I won't say new upgrades, because he's not really upgraded, so to speak. He's come out with more features, and more bills, I guess is the word I'm looking for. But I think he's made our life a lot easier, especially with the directives that you can put in there now for live work. But I agree with you. It's not there for the scheduling yet, but I think once that he implements the scheduling and the logging features in there, it'll have a heck of a program.
Yes, that's correct. Artsduke is fantastic for, if I was doing a lot of live DJ work, whether it be on the air or actually live using a sound system at a party or whatever, Artsduke is the way to go, no question about that, because it's so easy to dial up the songs that you want and all of those things. The problem is that with the FM station that we're now running, we have certain types of programming. For example, we have a kids show between 7 and 8 in the evening. We have old-time radio between 10 and midnight every night on our local station. And with the virtual DJ software that we're using, we can actually tell it those things, that it's only to play certain types of songs or certain types of files at particular times. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah, it is. And I have looked at Virtual DJ and have played around with it a bit, and may consider using it on my station. But right now, I've been more centered toward ACBRI and trying to get Chris's Classic up and running. And first of all, let me take an opportunity to apologize to mainstream listeners. Friday morning, of course, it was late, Saturday night, your time, I think it was, because I remember seeing a message from you, and I hope Amanda's feeling better, but we had a dial-up connection difficulty.
Oh, gosh, that dreadful, yeah.
ISP dropped out at 1400, and I had trouble getting it back up. So that's where our that's what happened. We disappeared into cyberspace, and that's another thing you run into. With AM and FM stations, you can always go back and turn the transmitter on.
Yep, it's a whole new ball game out there, I tell you. But no, it was actually very early Saturday morning when I was listening to that show and thoroughly enjoyed it. And thanks, yes, Amanda is feeling a lot better now. And I enjoy the program. And you're on again tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Be on 12 to 15 UTC, 6, let's see, pardon me, thinking about my time, 6 to 8 Central, 7 to 9 Eastern. And let me... 12 to 1500, 7 to 10 Eastern, 9 Central. I'm just about as bad as you are, Jonathan.
Well, that's saying something.
Let me put a plug in for Mr. Sam and Jerry, I believe, from 15 to 1800 on in the 80s. So, you know, we're starting something new this weekend, as you know. We're going off now, what is it, 1800 UTC, 1 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast, so we've expanded just a little bit.
Yep, it's getting better all the time. Well, I'd say one good thing, Chris, you've certainly inspired people to ring in, so I better go and take some more calls before they get impatient with me.
Okay, Jonathan, good to talk with you, and certainly all the best to Amanda, all the best to your parents, and I hope they're doing better, and my family has been through the same situation, so I feel for you, my friend, and I hope things can improve, and certainly glad to see you with us on ACB Radio.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And look after yourself. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's Chris Sells from Chris's Classics. This is Blind Line on ACB Radio Interactive as we say hello to area code 740.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Corey in Ohio. How you doing?
Hey, Ohio. Yeah, I'm very well. How's it going?
Just fine. Well, first of all, I want to comment on the movie. It does sound very interesting. And I would have to say, if I had a chance to get my sight back, I don't think I would take it either. It would be a very hard adjustment, I think, for me.
Have you always been blind, or you go blind later in life?
I've been blind since birth, actually.
Right.
I was born, and I've never been given a clear diagnosis of my problem, I don't guess. Most doctors tell me that my optic nerve did not fully develop. However, I still see light. Of course, I guess that doesn't mean anything. Maybe one of those channels just didn't develop and it wasn't the one that brings light through. But I went to a specialist a year ago, and they said that my optic nerve seemed to be very healthy. So I have mixed... I don't know what my problem stands at now.
Yeah, and does that matter to you? I mean, does it interest you because you're wanting to find out whether it's a hereditary thing?
Well, I'm the only blind person in my family that I know of on both sides, and I have a rather large family, especially on my father's side, and no one else has had the problem. But it doesn't bother me. As a matter of fact, you know, as far as computer seals go, I mean, I'm not bragging here, but blind people, when it comes to computers, I really do believe that they have to learn more and they can give more insight on a lot of things, because most sighted people, as far as I'm concerned, get too mouse happy. They love to click on things and you don't know what's going on, but us as blind people can really get a hold of things and really go through it.
We've got a PC on our network here that the children use. It's up in there. It's upstairs. The children have got the upstairs bit, and they have a PC, and it's Interrupt Conflict City. I don't know why. You know, I'd like to just rip every component out and start again, but it quite often falls over in funny ways, and recently the mouse has stopped working on a fairly regular basis, and that really is where Jonathan gets called in, because no one else knows what the keyboard commands are to get to the start menu and all of those things.
Well, I get asked a lot. I do taxes on the computer, and people come over, and you know, you go to a lot of places, and they'll point and they'll click. They might press a few keys on the keyboard to do a few things, but I get asked so many times, how in the world can you access that information so quick? I said, if you learn to use the keyboard, I honestly believe that things will be twice as quick.
Well, that is true, and you notice that when you're in courses that are being run for office power users or for secretaries, people who are using Office on a regular basis, they do actually encourage you to throw the mouse away, and they teach you the keyboard commands for that very reason.
Yes, I think you should learn those first. And my next question for you, Jonathan, I am investigating this, and it's probably old news. I just haven't really caught up with it yet, and I've heard many different
I know what you're going to ask me. Go on.
It's not the temperature, if that's what you're going to say.
Go on.
I am thinking about going to Windows Millennium here soon.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I use an old desktop PC too. And the problem isn't finding the board that will still take the desktop PC too. Problem is Windows ME supposedly will not use it, in which it doesn't auto-exec that or config sys. Are there any workarounds for this yet?
Yes, there is a patch that you can download from somewhere on GeoCities that will restore Windows Millennium's recognition of autoexec.bat and config.sys.
Have you used it or know of anybody that has used it with success?
I know of people who've used it with success. A year ago, I don't think I would make the following statement. I think I'm getting old and conservative, but I haven't upgraded any of the PCs in our office here or at home to Millennium, and the reason for that is because I don't see any features that I personally really need, and because my livelihood these days is so dependent on the computer, I just figure if it's not broken, I'm not going to risk something that might break it, so I've left it alone.
Right, well, I was thinking about doing a processor upgrade here in the next month or so, because it would make things work a lot, you know, a lot better during my show and the whole bit. Sometimes things get sluggish. Of course, since I've got the DSL connection now, that has improved a lot of speed as far as transferring and everything. Sometimes I just get bogged down a little bit, and I thought about upgrading, and I thought, do I want to make the switch to Windows Millennium?
It is something that people are having to grapple with. And as far as new operating systems go, I've heard relatively few problem reports. I've had a couple of unconfirmed ones relating to some behavior with Media Player, Windows Media Player on Millennium, but other people are running that perfectly fine, and I suspect that if there were any problems, they've probably been resolved with the release of DirectX 8, which has come out now. So I think you'd probably be fairly safe. Upgrading an operating system is such a big thing, isn't it? I mean, it's the software guts of your computer. So I guess I'm just
It really worries you when you go to do it. At least it does me, because when you're installing, you're always thinking, okay, after this is done, because from what I understand, Millennium is an upgrade to 98, and you just install over top of 98, and I'm thinking, you know, is this thing going to restart when this finishes? I made a backup set a week ago. Well, about 5 days ago, I had a computer crash, and I had made a backup set, I guess it was about a month ago. And I used a program called HP CD Recovery.
Mm.
And it took 13 CDs to make this backup. And I followed the directions to restore the backup, to redo this whole drive here. And if I wouldn't have had my music backed up, I think I would have went ballistic. But that backup set of 13 CDs did not restore the system. It would not boot after I ran them all through.
Oh, my. Oh, that's frustrating, isn't it? And especially because you sort of have this smug grin on your face and you think, I've got a backup. You can't fool me, I've got a backup. And then you find that that you haven't. I had that experience when I was working in a corporate environment and I'd backed up my whole hard drive using this huge zip file and I'd put it on my private directory on the network. And so when the hard disk crashed, I reinstalled and thought, you can't beat me, I've got a backup. But the size of the zip file had caused some sort of problem on the network and the whole zip file was corrupted and I lost everything.
So do you rely on backups? Do you think they are safe?
Well, I back up in a couple of ways now. Now that we run a network here, I have copies of important files on another drive on the network and I also have it backed up on CD rewritables because, you know, when you're dealing with client invoices and stuff like that, you have to be quite meticulous. So I try to back up regularly.
How about that? Okay, well, Jonathan, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yep, thanks, Corey, and I appreciate you giving us a call.
Alrighty, talk to you later.
Yep, we'll see you later. This is ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and this is Blind Line, and we say hello to this unknown caller who sounds like they're on internet telephony.
I'm on Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah. How's it going? Is that Mike, is it?
Yeah, Mike from North Carolina. I'm on the OneTech email list.
Oh, well, it's very nice to hear from you. And you're a little bit faint. I don't know if you can come a bit closer to your microphone and perhaps turn the speakers down a bit, but we can certainly make out what you're saying.
Yeah, does that sound any better?
Oh, yes, heaps better. Much better, thanks.
Okay, I just took up over here and, you know, some of the stuff you guys were talking about, and I like to say that I hate mice.
Quite right.
It's just horrible. I mean, but not to try to go off topic too much, but I was wanting to promote a list that I have that I just started with Yahoo Groups called Employment-Blindness-Issues. And what I want to try to get people to talk about is their experiences with getting employment, maybe some technical know-how and what types of equipment they use. And I would encourage anybody that wants to try to subscribe to it because I would like to try to get some more input on things, you know, as far as accounting software, different types of equipment that's being used and stuff on the jobs and the type of trouble people had to go through getting it and everything like that and how they went around with all those barriers.
Okay, so that's employment-blindness-issues. And what provider is that on? Is that eGroups?
Yahoo Groups, yeah. Well, it just changed to Yahoo Groups.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I noticed they made that change the other day. So if you want to subscribe, I guess it would be employment-blindness-issues-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Right. I believe that's what it says on that page I have on there.
Yeah. Okay. And this is quite a new list, is it? You just recently set it up?
Mm-hmm. I set it up a couple of weeks ago, but I haven't really been able to get it out there, I guess, you know, to get people to know about it. I felt that this would be a good place to do that because we have a lot of listeners on here.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, no, it's a hot topic, of course, and we all hear about the dire unemployment statistics in the blind community. So if people are interested in solving those issues in a practical way, that'd be good. There's another site that's devoted to this kind of stuff called the eSight Careers Network. Have you had a look at that?
No, I didn't even know there was one. I didn't know there was such a place.
I think it's eSight, all one word, SIGHT.org, and it just recently started. I haven't been back to have a look how it's progressing, but it's kind of a portal for blindness-related employment issues.
I think that would be a good idea. I'm going to check that out.
Well, I really appreciate you giving us a call for the first time, and so that email address again is employment blindness-employment-issues, right?
Yeah, blindness-employment-issues@yahoo.com.
Okay.
But you got the subscribe command in there, of course.
Right. That's brilliant. Well, I hope you get some subscribers on that, and that there might be some stimulating conversation that takes place on there, and good on you for taking the initiative.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope to hear from you again sometime.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye for now. This is ACB Radio Mainstream, and you're listening to Blindline. We'll take this call here. Another unknown caller. Hello there.
Oh, I don't know if I could really be classified as an unknown caller, Jonathan, but I'll take it.
No, well, that's right. Well, there you go. How's it going, Richard?
Not too bad, Jonathan. Not too bad. Still struggling with the office animal, Microsoft Outlook, but I think we're getting somewhat of a grip on the thing.
Oh, it's a great program, that Microsoft Outlook. Oh, that's right. I need to... yes, thank you for reminding me about that. yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a good program.
Well,
once you get it
not like you don't have other things in your busy life, Jonathan. Yes, I would like to still work with you on that. I mean, I was able to sort the sorting. At least I have that straightened out in the signature. But I still want to go over with you on some other parts of it to see whether or not if it's just me or just the way the program is.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that I've been doing a lot of consultancy work, which takes me away from home. But this week, I'm home for the whole week, so I'll be able to catch up on some of those things. But, yeah, and it's your computer settling down now, your new magic box with all the power. Oh. He's gone. Are you still there, Richard? Oh. Let's see. Might chill it out. No. Just making sure that we still have everything working here. So we'll try and take this other call and just make sure. Yeah, I think we must have lost Richard. So we'll just press this button here. And I think what's happening is that MSN Messenger is now cutting people off after a certain period of time. I think we worked that out. Hello there, this is Blindline.
Hello, Jonathan. If it wasn't for that voice that comes on there and says you may speak to your conference now, I wouldn't know whether you were talking to me or somebody else.
That's right, because you're calling on your special phone card thing, aren't you? And it doesn't tell me what your area code is, but we pay that man lots of money to sit there and say those things just for you.
Oh, yeah, that bless you. That's really wonderful. And my cousin sent my mother and I two more calling cards.
Whoa.
I still only, when I first called in, I still had 107 minutes on this one, and we've got two more calling cards since then.
Wow, this is living. You're just going to be such a regular. And how was your Christmas?
Oh, it was very nice. We listened to three movies that my mother had bought, and I got a very nice small cedar chest to keep my important stuff in. I've got my important software and whatever manuals and things I might need to keep in there. I got that in there, and I got a small thing to keep cassettes in. It holds 100 of them, and I got right many talking books for Christmas. My cousin sent me some, and Santa Claus got me some.
Wow, Santa's good like that. It sounds like you had a great Christmas then.
Oh, yes, I really did. It was really wonderful. One thing I wanted to talk about tonight, are you familiar with the RIS Radio Information Service in Pittsburgh?
I know it exists. That's about the extent of my knowledge.
Well, I had listened to it a few years ago, but they didn't have near, I mean, it's really grown since then. When I listened to it once a few years ago, they just had a few little things here and there, but a man I talked to on For the People, he sent me an attachment with a web link to it, and I thought, well, maybe it's time to listen to it again. I can listen to the archives, but to listen to the live stream, it says you need a password, and the only problem is you get two different email addresses to send it to. One link says send it for people who have difficulty reading print. You can send a send an email to rich@frontiernet.net. But then when you click on the link that says here RIS with Real Player, you have a human voice telling you that soon that users will need a password to listen to narrated programs on the internet, and it says to send an email to RIS@readingservice.org, and I sent an email to one Thursday night, hadn't got an answer by Friday night, and I sent another one Friday night to the other email address, and I still haven't got an answer from either one of those about your password.
Well, maybe the password person's away for the weekend. Hopefully that'll be sorted out. Somebody may be able to give you a definitive answer, though, and let you know exactly which is the correct address. But you're quite pleased with their content, are you, from the archive that you have been able to access?
Yes. I'm just hoping that it all depends on what they want in order to give you a password. I think you should be able to just, say that you're blind and that you've listened to their archives and they could send you a password. But some of these programs, because I did a search with Google to see if there were any more of those, and there are about two or three others, but before they send you a password, they want your full name and address and telephone number and a description of your disability that makes print impossible. They just about want your life before they'll send you a password.
Well, I went to the Kabango site, which is a new internet radio that I don't think has actually made it out yet. But this site also has a very good web directory of internet radio, and they have a whole section for blind people. And there's quite a lot of material you can listen to that's archived, things like the New York Times and a whole lot of things that's available. So you might want to try going to kerbango.com and finding the blindness section. I forget exactly how to get there now, but it was pretty good, pretty impressive.
Well, maybe I just spelled Kerbango. If I can maybe spell Kerbango right, I might be able to find. There would be a search engine where if you know the name of the website, but you don't know the web address, where you could type it in. Like, if you don't know the address for Kerbango, you could be able to type in Kerbango and be taken right to the site. I mean, that would be neat.
That does work on some versions of Internet Explorer, and I forget what the variables are. You can actually make that happen, so you can set up Internet Explorer so that when you do your Control-O to open, you can just type CNN and press Enter, and it will take you to CNN.com. But, I think that came in version 4, and I don't recall now what all the details of that are. But, yeah, the Internet's a marvellous thing. But I hope you have some luck with that, and give us a call next time you're feeling like having a chat on this calling card of yours.
Okay, I sure will.
Good on you.
And I'm going to connect as possible. Okay.
Okay.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, nice to hear from you. ACB Radio Mainstream, and it's Blind Line time. And when it's Blind Line time again, you're going to leave me. Hello there.
Good morning, Jonathan Rose, and this is Mike C.
Oh, you're sounding hyped up after your ACB Radio Interactive show.
Did you hear it today?
Yes, I did. I did. I heard some of it. I had some production work to do, but I had it on in the office when I wasn't recording, and it sounded very good.
That's good. I enjoyed it. I got this new microphone. It's called the Audio Technica mic. Just got a Best Buy on Friday, and it sounded really good over on the server.
Actually, I must say, I thought I noticed a difference in the audio quality. You'll now have to give yourself a new name. Maybe you could call yourself Mike Raffone. He's gone again. I tell you what I think's happening, is that people who are phoning in on MSN Messenger and they have a bit of a wait, it seems that after about 15 minutes, people are getting chopped off. This is the problem I had last week, you recall, when we had Blindline, and it would just routinely pop us off. And I read somewhere that MSN has imposed this limitation. And if you're wondering why I'm not being popped off this week, it's because, and I haven't seen anything because I wanted to make sure that it was all working, I'm using the Net2Phone software, which is actually the technology that powers MSN Messenger anyway, and Yahoo Messenger for that matter. So if you're having this problem and you want to kill the problem, you can go to www.net2phone, the 2 is the number 2.com, www.net2phone.com, and it seems to be working okay, knock on wood, as they say in the United States. Hi, this is Blind Line.
Hello, Jonathan, take 2.
Yeah.
And I hope, yes, MSN doesn't knock me off, because that's what I am using.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's, I think I'm going to delete MSN Messenger, but it's interesting that that a lot of these free phone call providers are suddenly going down the gurgler all at once.
Yeah, it's a shame. MSN, the first thing that they did, MSN, that was really, annoying. It's like you couldn't call Canada anymore. So I had, Richard Kwan and some others that want to call. I can't call with MSN anymore.
Oh, that's Well, of course, what they have done is enable the Net2Phone technology so that from within MSN you can get an account. But I was very impressed. They had some sort of database server error with Net2Phone, and that didn't impress me, because I was trying to update my account. I've had a Net2Phone account for years, because Net2Phone was one of the original providers of internet telephony, where you could use your PC to make a phone call, and they used to charge for it. But they, if you give them a bit more personal information, they will allow you to have free calls within the US, and I couldn't make it happen because I kept getting 503 server errors and all sorts of stuff. So I phoned up their customer services, gave them my account number, and instantly they had enabled the free US calling for me on my Net2Phone. And so far today, it's run absolutely flawlessly. Very little breakup from this end. And all I can say is, at least for the meantime, and these things change from month to month, that seems like the way to go.
Yeah, that does seem a shame. What about going back to NetMeeting, because at least using with that, I think, what did we use NetMeeting for a while, and you had the selfhost.com. That seemed to work fairly well.
Yeah, I know this is a bit of a debate that people have. Some people still prefer the old days when we used to use internet PC communication like BuddyPhone or NetMeeting. I guess the reason why I have tried to go with the telephone is that it's easier for some people who aren't terribly computer literate. I mean, for some, the act of getting familiar with their PC so that they can listen to ACB radio is pretty significant. It's a milestone, and I'd hate to exclude everybody except the extremely computer literate from participating in our program. So I guess that's the rationale that I've used in recent times.
Oh, no. I mean, it makes sense, Jonathan. I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. Would be nice if they, like, I was thinking of maybe using, phone dialer that's in accessories. But the thing about it is that I discovered is that it won't work with the cable. It's only working, I do have a modem in this machine as well, but I was a little surprised. You can't use it with a network connection. You can only use it with a modem.
The reason for that is that phone dialer is actually making a regular telephone call with your modem and actually using the voice facilities, but it's not actually making a call over the internet. It's making a real phone call.
Yeah, let's just, I think we're going to be searching around for a good telephony program, unfortunately.
Well, as I say, I've been connected with Net2Phone now for a good 45 minutes, is it, or more, and it's still going, so that's very encouraging.
Hopefully, yes. So I take it you have to have an account, though, right? It's like a regular phone service where you have to is to have a credit card, right, as well in order to make
I think so. I think you do have to have an account, but once you have one, they do give you the free calls to call anywhere in the United States, and it looks like they're not putting a limit on that.
Yeah. By the way, about your topic about that that movie, like I say, I have seen, the only thing I haven't seen was colors, so I had fairly good workable vision until I lost it, until I was about 12, but since I also wear hearing aids, I definitely would, out of doubt, would want normal hearing for my sight.
What sort of hearing aids do you use?
I use real programmable ones where they actually hook you up to a PC and they actually dial in. He has a mouse and he's actually, I guess, he put a band of equalizers and he actually adjusts the different frequencies. And there's also even different softwares that give you different compression rates and all with the hearing aid. So it's pretty impressive.
Are they the Widex ones?
The who?
Widex. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, so like there are different brands, like there's Phonak and Oticon and Widex.
And these are even they're two channel. They're very, you know, it's very sophisticated, but unfortunately they're not. They're not cheap either, and Medicaid won't pay for them, so that's the other disadvantage.
And the really dumb thing is that they never let you have the software. I mean, it would be great if you could take the software home and wire yourself up and do all the EQing you want to do.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, too, the way Medicaid works, and my hearing aid dealer was telling me this, is like there was a customer he had that was 98 years old, and she was going in for hearing aids, and Medicaid said, well, she only needs one, since she's not really going to, you know, it's like, she needs two hearing aids.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That's the mentality.
And it's very sad when the bureaucrats want to cut costs in such a cruel way. But anyway, I've got the calls building up, so I'm glad we were able to have a sensible conversation, Richard, and I wish you luck on your quest for the perfect internet telephony program.
Yeah, you too, Jonathan. And hopefully you'll give me an email as far as when you want to get together. Because I think it'll only be about an hour worth of work.
No problem. Thank you for reminding me. I'll get on to that.
All righty, Jonathan.
Okay.
Take care.
Catch you later.
And,
bye.
I hope your parents are doing well.
Thank you. They are. They're making good progress.
Yeah, well, you take care.
Thanks, Richard. Bye now. Okay, ACB Radio Mainstream, and we go to another call. Hello there.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Yep. Go ahead. I think we're just having Richard logging off.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. How did you make out last week? There was the email message where you went to on a conference of sort. How did you make out with that?
I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. But when we can, hopefully we can. We might even devote some time on Blindline to detailing what went on and why it was so important. Because I think one of the things I'd like to do for Blindline this year is focus on a few more international issues to do with blindness around the world. So I am hoping that in the near future we can talk about that, because what we were seeking to do was find a way forward to do with who actually gets to choose the governors of the blindness agency in this country, and for a very long time the blind of New Zealand have been lobbying hard to get control of that process so that all of the governors don't necessarily have to be blind, but they have to be accountable to blind people. That's what we think, you know, that they should be directly elected by blind people in a truly democratic sense. So that's what it was all about.
Sounds interesting. Well, I won't elaborate into it any more than I'll let you get onto that further. But we're in our New York State chapter is our legislative weekend coming up the first weekend in March, and we're going to be the pre-legislative session is going to be next weekend down in New York City. And one of the things we want to look at is accessible voting issues. They want to the state now that after what happened with our elections here. This past year, they want to try and reform all the election booths and modernize all the equipment and stuff like that. So we kind of want to get on the bandwagon and try and get our equipment up to date and modified for visually impaired users.
Would it be fair to say that with the recent election debacle, that now is a good time for all of the blind people around the country to lobby for the kind of electoral reform that they've been seeking, because it seems to me that the time is right for looking at a whole overhaul of the electoral system anyway?
Oh, I would definitely agree with that 100%. I think there should be a whole modification of the electoral system, and I think they should do away with it personally. But I know I'm going to hear arguments about that, but that's my feeling on it. I don't think it's fair. And I think there should be a national standard on how you should vote. Each state, it's up to each individual state as to how they vote, whether it's by, voting machine or CHADS or whatever. I think it's ridiculous. I think there should be a uniform system all the way around.
I haven't followed the American political scene as closely as I was during the campaign and then latterly the aftermath of the campaign. But from a distant observer's perspective, it seems to me that the whole electoral reform issue appears to have almost dropped off the agenda. It's like nobody's seriously talking about it anymore, and it certainly doesn't seem to be on President Bush's agenda.
No, of course not. now that they finally decided who's president, that's the last thing on their mind until, 4 years from now, and then if they're going to start it all over again, and, by then it's too late to even, too late to do that. So we're hoping that we can try and they say it takes several years to even, consider it. So we're hoping maybe, even on the national end, maybe we can do something. But at least we want to get started on the state level first.
That sounds good. So what are the primary issues for blind people in terms of reform of the voting system? You'd be looking at secret ballots. Is that the primary one?
Not necessarily. I think, we're going to get in touch with the County Board of Elections and see, have them come and speak with us, and we want to see if maybe have accessibility, like maybe having a Braille display or having an audio version, or there's several different versions, different ways you could probably go about it. Right now what they do is if you want to, you can do it by absentee ballot, but you can also go into the booth and have a member of each party go in with you and read the display, or either that or a friend if you don't have that. So that's the way it's done now.
Yeah, that's the system that we had here or have here. I think we had a system for a short time where if you voted early, you got a template where you had a Braille list of all of the candidates, kind of with a little slot for each one, and you would mark the slot, but you had to cast a special vote, what you call an absentee ballot, and then on the actual polling day, if you wanted assistance, you could either have a polling booth official or you could take the person of your choice in. But we haven't really tackled the whole secret ballot question here yet, so I imagine it's going to be a live issue right across the Western world in the next little while.
I would think so. So in your case, you could end up voting twice if you wanted to, correct, or no?
No, because they know. They mark your name off on the roll so that you can't actually go back a second time.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what they do here, too.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope it works out. We're also looking at doing pedestrian safety issues here, too, as a possible... not a legislative issue, but on a local level, we're in the midst of getting the audible signals in downtown with the walk, don't walk signs and stuff like that. That's supposed to be started in the spring. So we're hoping that's going to get started, and then we'll, you know, work on a state level for that, too.
It sounds like you're going to have a very active and busy year.
Yeah, just a little, and I was elected state secretary for our state chapter, and then I'm also treasurer for our locals. A little busy.
Well, you know, as president of our own consumer organization here in New Zealand, I can say it's people like you that are the lifeblood of the organization who are willing to volunteer so much time and put your time where your mouth is. So congratulations on showing so much commitment.
Well, thank you. We, you know, we'd like to see something going. For a while, it was kind of a stagnant organization, and I think I just kind of picked up the ball and said, you know, let's do this. It started out as wanting to do a public service announcement on pedestrian safety for people for the white cane law and guide dogs, and then we turned around and said, no, wait a minute, let's see if we can get some audible signals in. And after, you know, trying to contact several people through the city, I finally got a hold of the right person, and they just grabbed the ball and ran with it. And I gave them all the information from the national office and what other information we had, and they just took off with it and said, fine, you know, we just transferred information back and forth, and they were having a ball with it.
Yeah.
The commissioner even said, you know, we even invited the commissioner and said, you know, do you want to, you know, come in on the meeting? He goes, nope, you know what you're doing. You know, keep going. You know what you're doing. Just go with it. So it was great.
That's tremendous. Well, keep us posted, and I really appreciate your call. Most interesting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye now. This is Blind Lion on ACB Radio Mainstream. We're heard live from 1 till 3 Universal Time on a Monday morning. That is currently 8 till 10 Eastern Time in the United States. Hello to area code 510.
Hello there, this is Mike Gorman.
How are you, Mike? You're looking well.
I feel fine. I feel better than I did a few weeks ago.
You sound it.
Thank you. Except for some reason, yesterday when I was doing my show after like a halfway point, it started sounding like a helicopter. It was like skipping on one, you know, the song sounded like a CD when it's skipping.
Yeah, I thought that was me, but it was actually on the stream, was it? I thought I was getting a bit of breakup at this end.
So, because when I played back the file, you know, that I made from it, the same thing happened.
Mm.
It's only happened one other time, and I can't figure out what it would be, because I try to close everything, you know, because Optus is a very intrusive program. And, you know, I close everything except for email and maybe ICQ to get messages, but... that's like the only other time this happened, so I hope it isn't a regular thing.
Well, one day, as I keep assuring myself, we're going to look back on these pioneering days with fondness, because we'll have all the answers and it will all go smoothly, and it probably won't be quite as exciting anymore.
No, it won't be as adventurous. Also, I do like Optus, and I have not tried virtual. I have seen virtual DJ. Where can you find that? Is that just for professionals? Is that a software-based thing or what?
Yeah, virtual DJ is a piece of software. It I would not use it for live broadcasts, but you might find it quite useful for making a good mix for your EasyCasts or any live broadcasting that you're doing in that way, because it does handle M3U files, which means that you can give it your MP3 files and it will create a really nice playlist.
I suppose you have to make your own.
Yeah.
That's
right. So it's at www.virtualdjalljoinedtogether.com.
Virtual DJ, what was the last part?
.com. So it's virtual DJ, which is all one word, .com.
Okay, I'll check that out after this show. Also, I have found, you know, I am using Optus on my EasyCast. What I've done, which is kind of, I guess, unique, is I made a WAV file of 50 songs, big WAV, of course, using Optus. And, you know, I make four of them, so that gives me 200 oldies on my page. The only disadvantage, of course, then, is people... with Live 365, all they'll see is whatever a title I give that MP3 file after I convert it from WAV. It doesn't give the artist and songs. I don't know if Live 365 would like that. But at least it sounds like an old-fashioned FM station. It worked pretty good for me.
Yeah, that's a really good way to go. And
and it, especially for an EasyCast type thing.
The other thing about that is, though, that Live 365 will be accumulating all of those ads that it now wants to play. So you'll get a huge burst of them at the end of each file.
I know, which is funny because each file is like 2 hours or something, and then you'll hear all the ads and then file will play. I was thinking that because I also have a 78 netcast, which is which I'm just doing in shuffle mode. And I noticed, you know, now you can create your own intro ad too, you know.
Yeah, but does that work for you? Because I've created one for the Treasure Trove, which says "Welcome to the," you know, and yeah. I never hear it. It doesn't play.
It's funny. I got the Sonic Box jukebox. I mean, Sonic Box tuner. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah.
And they put my 78 netcast on their tuner. And on that, I don't get it. But yet, if I go through Winamp or Life or Real Player, I get it. But I set it to do it after, you know, their little promo. But it still does it before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have seen sometimes where it doesn't come in, and sometimes I see it come in.
Yeah, I don't quite know what's going on there, but
it's just something they're working on.
How's your old-time radio webcast going?
It's still going. What I decided to do instead of changing it every other week is I just keep adding shows and deleting shows so they get fresh new ones along with some that have already been played. And I'm doing that with the 78, too. That way I'm not obligated to have to do it every week because I get so caught up with so many things. And I'm also having a lot of fun, of course, with the countdown thing I'm doing on ACB Radio.
That's a great innovation.
Even if it sounds like a helicopter.
For people who haven't heard that, this is on between 5 and 6 Universal Time on a Sunday, and you feature a given year. What's going to be on next week?
1966.
Oh.
What I had people do, since, you know, I can't really take a request on something like that, I still want email, is for them to select a year they want to use, and then, you know, that week I would give their name and the year they picked.
Well, that's good. Well, I enjoy that. I have it on as I get ready for my show, which is on immediately after, and I really enjoy it.
Right.
Although the helicopter wasn't much fun last night.
No, it wasn't. I hope it doesn't happen again. This is the second time since I've done it, it's done that. And I wish I knew what the cause was, because I know, you know, my processes should be fast. I mean, I even see Wayne do it with a slower machine than I have. Mm-hmm. I even did it from his house using Optute and had never had that problem. So I have to... And the problem is, it's so intermittent, you can't really isolate what the problem is.
No,
you know, it's only happened twice.
Computers are dreadful like
that. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say hi, since I can call you.
Well, it's really good to hear from you, and we'll look forward to 1966 next week.
Right. I'm not used to this delay. I don't mean to talk over you. Okay. Well, have a good day, Jonathan.
Thanks, Mike. We'll catch you later.
Same for you, I guess.
Okay. Bye now. Because you used to get that in satellite international phone calls all the time, you know, big, long pauses, but you're right. We're not used to it anymore. Hi, this is Blind Line.
Blind Line. Good evening. Jonathan Morrison.
Oh, you've called back. You're still using MSN Messenger.
Yeah, still am. I just had to redial in a bunch of times, but that's okay. It's free of charge.
Yeah. I think the issue is they're putting a 15-minute limit on the length of calls, from what I hear. I've heard that. I haven't been able to confirm it from MSN themselves, but that's what I've heard. But I was in the middle of suggesting, when you got cut off before, that now that you've got such a good mic, you should change your name to Microphone.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. So,
but, I don't know if you noticed it, but I got disconnected a lot today, at least two different times on the server. I don't know, is there something going on with Live or what?
Not that I know of, but you know, I had a nice stable connection, and then I listened to Maureen last night. She seemed to have a good stable connection, but, you know, who knows? I know that they are in the process of starting to migrate their servers over to a new data center. I understand they're getting ready to provide broadcasters with a whole lot of new services and better bandwidth and things. So eventually, in the next little while, everybody's going to have new IP addresses.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, it's
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Don't you get the newsletter, or do you just not read it?
I get it, but I look at the subject line and it just doesn't sound like it just doesn't sound that interesting.
Oh, I see, it can be deceptive. Now, what's happening with the Super Bowl? Do you know anything about that?
Well, this was a flaw. I don't know if you caught it, but I tried to do Super Bowl covers live on the air. That did not go too well, because I was trying to speak as a commentator was, trying to tell you guys what was going on in the coin toss. The Ravens are crushing them right now. I checked over with Tony, 24-7.
Now, you have to tell somebody who's completely ignorant and, to be quite honest, doesn't care. But I know a lot of people do care. So, you know, who are the teams and where are they from?
Oh, New York Giants and, oh man. Ravens, I don't know. Maybe someone else can provide us with that information.
But the Ravens are leading, aren't they? They're beating the New York Giants right now.
Yes, they are. They're in the fourth quarter right now.
Oh, man. I wonder if the senator, the fine senator from New York is there.
Possibly. Maybe she is. So what do you think about this microphone, this Audio Technica? Do you think it's a pretty good mic?
Well, it's hard to tell on something like MSN Messenger, but when I heard you on the air, it really did sound very nice. I was very impressed with the mic. I thought that it sounded different.
Yeah, now at what point did you hear my show? Because what was I playing at the time?
It was some pretty weird music. I have no idea what on earth it was. It sounded like one of those old mod files, actually. You know, do you remember the mod files that we used to get?
Well, yeah, I do. Was it something from Dante Demento?
I have no idea. I've never heard it before. But anyway, it was all right. I heard it chugging along there, so that's all right. But yes, well, it's always nice to hear from you, and I'll leave you. What time is the Super Bowl supposed to finish? Because presumably it's not going to go into anything like extra time. Or don't they go into extra time in football? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to end about, let's see, what time is it now? It's 2-something. I think 3-something GMT. No, at least 2 o'clock GMT, sometime around there.
Well, I'll leave you to it, and I hope you have a very pleasant evening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I know what you're trying to do, but I can't wait forever for it. So, Steve Matsura, good evening to you.
And good evening to you, Jonathan. You're asking for the senator from New York, and I'm not nearly as pretty or as popular, but hopefully I'll do.
I have no idea what Hillary looks like. I mean, you know, I really don't know.
Whatever she looks like, she must be, she's obviously prettier than I.
Yeah, I know,
anyway,
but I mean, that's no real sort of gold standard, is it?
No, not even a bronze standard. You wanted to know about the Ravens. They are from Baltimore, and they are an expansion team.
Oh, Baltimore.
The Baltimore Ravens. It used to be the Baltimore Colts. And I don't know what happened to the Colts. They dried up and ran away, or they moved to another city. I don't know what happened. And Baltimore's new team is now named the Ravens, and they are kicking the bawampers out of the Giants.
Oh, that's very unfortunate. You must be feeling quite aggrieved about this.
Yeah, I'm a big Blue fan. I've always been a Giants and Jets fan, even before they moved to New Jersey. They used to play in Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium years ago, before the Meadowlands was built and Jimmy Hoffa was buried there.
How incredible. So it looks like people will be crying in their Budweiser in New York City this evening.
Oh, they'll be crying in a good deal more than that if the Giants don't pull it out pretty fast. It's going to end in about 20 minutes.
It's highly unlikely, 22-7 down, that they're going to be able to make a comeback, though, is it?
Highly unlikely. The Giants would have to, let's see, they have to get 2 touchdowns, make the extra point, and a field goal in the better part of the next 15 minutes. For all I know, it could even be over by now, and they could be doing the post-game wrap-up. But it's all supposed to be over at 3 hours GMT.
Well, I'm really sorry. I sympathize with you, especially since we were in such a victorious mood in our part of the world yesterday after the unexpected victory of our team in the Shell Cup Cricket Championship.
All right. Yeah, I heard you talking about the part of the district champions there. I remember last week you were sitting on the edge of your seat wondering what was going on.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing. And what was nice was that we've been playing cricket this summer. We've been going out there. We've broken a bat playing cricket and out there because we've got lots of space to play it in. And Heidi's really interested in this. So we sat down yesterday, and for a 4-year-old, she she actually watched it for quite a while, and our team was whacking the ball right into the fence and scoring massive amounts of runs in short time, and she was very impressed.
All right. How many wickets did they knock over?
Well, the Canterbury team that we were playing, actually, I think it was about 8 for 276 by the time the 50 overs were over. And so that was a very good performance. Sorry, 176, that's what it was. A very mediocre performance and a fantastic performance by our bowlers. And we just absolutely made mincemeat of them. I think we got there in about the 38th over, so we had lots of time to spare.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Very
happy. I had a very nice correspondence with Mr. David Truong about cricket, and he explained to me a good bit about what goes on, so the terminology is not totally alien to me.
Well, David's a cricketing legend, but I think it's pronounced Trung, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm just going on what George says.
But don't do that. But he's a blind cricketer in the Australian national side, and also is involved in the Queensland blind cricket team at, I think, an administrative level as well as a playing level. And they're a pretty good side, the Australian blind cricket team, and so are the Australian general cricket team as well.
You know what? I never caught on in this country. We certainly have a lot of people who would play it, but just never caught on.
Yeah, I don't understand that. It's really, it's quite hard to find Americans who have an interest in or an understanding of cricket, but I think that it is starting to catch on a little bit, because I heard, I think it was in the last World Cup, that they were thinking of having an American cricket team in there. So I don't know, but I mean, I guess
populations that are... Oh, I'm sorry. Even in population centers that have large Caribbean populations, they like listening to it. They never play it.
Yeah. Well.
Never figure out why.
Well, the West Indies are pretty hopeless at the moment. They got beaten last week by Zimbabwe.
A war country.
It was a bit embarrassing. And they got thrashed by Australia the other night. And even we beat the West Indies. No, actually, New Zealand's very fickle when it comes to cricket. We are actually the ICC international knockout champions. But you wouldn't think it sometimes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, New Yorkers are going to cry in their beer tomorrow, that's for sure.
I'm really sorry to hear this, and I just hope that there's...
So are we.
Hopefully there's something that we can do to console you and tune into ACBRI and forget your worries.
That's generally what I do.
And remember,
Actually, we have a new game coming up at 10 o'clock, which is in about 10 minutes, I guess. Survivor 2, The Outback, is going to be starting.
What's going on?
With Survivor?
Yeah, what's going on in the background? What are you listening to in the background?
Oh, I have the volume up so that Marilyn can hear the conversation as well.
Well,
and it's just an echo.
I thought it was me, but... Hello, Marilyn.
I turned it down.
Yeah, that's all right. No, don't worry. I wouldn't want to exclude Marilyn. I say, hello, Marilyn.
What's going on in the background? What are you...
Little internet echo there for you.
It's all too confusing for a poor boy like me. But anyway, well, I appreciate you giving us a call. And how did the joyful noise go this morning?
It was great. It was a four-hour marathon.
Oh, man.
I had a very nice piece of email from Maureen, who nearly put me to sleep before my show started. She wound up her show with a bunch of good night music.
I know, the Beatles, and then there was...
and then she played this Brahms lullaby, this funky Brahms lullaby.
Oh, very nice version
of it. Really nice.
Yeah, but,
lovely.
It was worse...
But I needed to wake up. I needed to go to sleep.
And that's saying something. That's really saying something, because, you never sleep. Like New York, you are the personification of the city.
Right, New York never sleep, that's for sure.
But
I'm an up-and-down kind of guy.
Yeah, really?
2 hours up, 2 hours down.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I think the program was worth staying up for just to hear Rita Coolidge doing I'd Rather Leave When I'm in Love. That's such a good song. Wow.
Oh, that one I'm not familiar with.
Oh, she did play that. She played it not long before the end of the show. Great. It was a good show. Very good show.
I probably missed it just 5 minutes then.
I want to encourage people to tune in to Maureen's Cafe, 9 o'clock Universal Time on Sunday morning, and that's after me and before Steve. So there you go. Maureen's the sort of meet him. The rose them. Between two thorns, that's what she is.
And then you can stick around for a joyful noise.
Yeah.
From 12 to 2.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, regards to Marilyn, and we'll talk to you next time.
I thank you, and have a good evening.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
There's Steve Matsura, a sad New Yorker. It's really sad to hear that. We'll do our best to console him as best we can. And, you know, that's pretty much where I think we will wrap it up. I'm very pleased to say that this net-to-phone software does seem to do the job for us. So that's great, because MSN Messenger appears to have put some restrictions on which are not conducive to heavy blind lining. So thank you for your calls. Thanks to Roger Cool for a fascinating interview. And don't forget to stay tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream. Also, visit the website regularly, because you've got the other streams there and the ACB Radio Newsroom, which keeps you up to date with all that's going on around the world, and lots more besides. So, tomorrow on ACB Radio Mainstream, I believe Miller Time is back with Dennis Miller. That will be happening at 1 hour Universal Time, that's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and then we'll have the Council Connection from the Bay State Affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, so that's happening on Tuesday Universal Time, Monday evening in the United States. I'm going to leave you now with something from Mary Wilson. Thanks for being a part of Blindline, whether you've phoned or called, we really appreciate your support of ACB Radio Mainstream. Bye now.
I rented my apartment on a Monday at 1, singing to Lolly Lolly Shiggy Bum Shiggy Bum. Started moving in it on a Tuesday at 2, singing to Lolly Lolly Shiggy Do Shiggy Do. Wednesday at 3, I called the phone company, singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came a-knocking at my door, singing, hey baby, on your telephone, and you just show me where you want it, and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the bush, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling, because, hey baby, I'm your telephone man. Can you away that miniskirt? No one other fellows call you, tell them how it all began. Well, my heart began to thump and my mind began to fly, and I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while he was talking, I was thinking up my plans, and my fingers did the walking on the telephone man, singing, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, get in any way you can, right? So bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bedroom, and you hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz, and I got it with the ring, and when you told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling, a ding. Hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, just doing my thing.
I've never done this like this before.